Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hello, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Great to have you along. Welcome to the broadcast. Ted Ross at the controls, and Ted, we hear that each day the program begins, I always expect something good in your lunch hour. Yep. We sort of take lunch hour for granted, don't even think twice about it, but
yes.
The reality is there are, millions, literally millions across the globe who, lunch, would be just a rarity and longed for, and we're going to talk hunger today and how we want to make sure that we're actually doing all that we can to alleviate it.
Yeah, people that are blessed enough to have lunch, that could be their only meal maybe for days.
Yeah.
And we have three a day or more.
Or more. Yes. Yeah, so that's going to be our conversation today. And glad that you've tuned in, because we're going to get some wonderful insight from someone who has been passionate about this for many years and leading the way. And we'll have him tell a story or two of kind of from his own experience, and hopefully that'll challenge and motivate you as well. Do want to mention, by the way, if you've not downloaded the Faith Radio app, I was just talking with someone the other day that they listen all the time on the Faith Radio app.
They take it with them from room to room. They don't have to cart a radio around right there on your mobile device. Pretty convenient.
You can link one out. You can go to the App Store, right? Just Faith Radio Network.
Yep, search for Faith Radio Network on Android device, the Google Play Store typically, or else iTunes on iPhones.
So, sure, or you can find a link on our website, myfaithradio.com. So just want to say, if you've not discovered that yet, join in, because it's a great way to listen, and then you can keep us with you wherever you go. And we appreciate you listening whenever you can. Well, let me introduce today's guest. We've talked with him in the past, and so appreciate his passion, his heart, and his wisdom in this area of hunger and hunger initiatives. Three times nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, Ambassador Tony Hall is a leading advocate for hunger relief programs and improving human rights conditions around the world. He retired from official diplomatic service in April of 2006 and serves as the Executive Director Emeritus of the Alliance to End Hunger, which engages diverse institutions in building the public and political will to end hunger at home and abroad. The Alliance has more than 85 members, corporations, nonprofit groups, universities, individuals, Christian, Jewish, and Muslim religious bodies in it. And we are honored to have Ambassador Tony Hall with us today on Connecting Faith. Welcome, Tony. Good to have you back.
Thank you, Neil. It's good to be on your program.
Maybe before we jump in, because I want to talk about, the fight against hunger, if we're doing better than we have been, and maybe what still needs to be done. I'm a little curious to know, you served as a congressman from Ohio for 24 years in the House of Representatives. You were an ambassador. What kind of prompted you to take up the hunger mantle?
Well, it probably started when I was in the Peace Corps. I was in the Peace Corps in the late 60s, and I was in the country of Thailand. And, I lived among the poor and certainly received wages that were almost poverty. Anyway, I learned a lot about the poor in those days, and I came back with that kind of in my mind and became a small businessman, and then eventually ran for office, became a U.S. congressman, and as a result of that was drawn to this issue of poverty and poor and hunger, and became chairman of the subcommittee on international hunger. And as a result, I traveled a lot, and my first trip was to Ethiopia in 1984, and I was up country with Mother Teresa's group, Sisters of Charity, there was Ethiopia at the time was facing a major famine and also a civil war, and people were walking for miles, looking for food and searching for anything to help them out of the mess that the country was in. And they had surrounded this clinic thinking that this clinic was going to have food and water and medicines. And I had just happened to come upon this clinic, and there were two nuns there and a traveling doctor. And as soon as I walked in, he said, come with me outside, and I want you to see this. I don't think you've ever seen anything like this. So I walked outside. There were about 10,000 people, and they were starving. Some had been walking for well over 100 miles, and they thought that there would be food and medicines and blankets at this crossroads, at this Mother Teresa's place, and there was really nothing to speak of. And as I walked among these thousands of people, mothers were handing me their dead children. I saw 25 children die in a matter of about 15 minutes. And I never got over that. I was stunned by that. And for the next 3 days, I traveled all over Ethiopia trying to understand what was going on, what hunger was, what it looked like, what it felt like, what it smelled like, what was it that was causing these people to die like this? And I had decided on my way home from Ethiopia that that's what I was going to specialize on. That's what I was going to work on. That was going to be, when I was in Congress, that was going to be, outside of taking care of my district, that was going to be my issue.
And we're thankful, Tony, for you and your passion for all these years and for many others that have taken up the cause, and many in the name of Christ have gone, and we have tried to follow that mandate to feed the hungry and care for the poor. And I'm interested, just as you since have traveled to Ethiopia many years ago and have worked in this issue and, now serving the Alliance to end hunger, what's your assessment of the fight against hunger? Are we more effective than we were maybe a decade or two ago when you first went to Ethiopia?
Yeah, we are. We are, excuse me, we are making a difference. The poverty rate in the world has actually been cut in half. Years ago, when at least 35 years ago, I would say today, 42,000 people are going to die today, and they're going to die of hunger and hunger-related deaths. And now that figure is down to 21,000 people a day. Now, that's still a lot of people that are dying, but it's gone down from 42,000 people to 21,000 a day. The delivery of goods and services and food and medicines is much better than it was 35 years ago. So when you put all that together, the poverty rate has been cut in half, the number of deaths per day is down, delivery of food and medicines and everything is so much better. Yes, we are effective, and these programs are actually working.
Given, though, that, there's still, deaths and still poverty, so are there some areas where we're still not succeeding or maybe encountering roadblocks? Or have those changed over the last 30 years?
No, there are areas where we are not succeeding. And in those countries, like in South Sudan, in the Congo, in North Korea, in Zimbabwe, places where the government is corrupt, the government is using food as a weapon, where hunger and human rights is not really a high priority, where there's dictatorship. Yeah, we're not succeeding in those areas, and it's almost impossible to have progress in those countries.
I want to talk more about what that looks like, how we can see progress dealing with some of the issues, maybe new ways of approaching global initiatives to fight poverty and hunger. Talking today with Ambassador Tony Hall, who is a leading advocate for hunger relief programs and improving human rights conditions around the world. We're honored to have him with us today. He serves as Executive Director Emeritus of the Alliance to End Hunger. And we are taking your calls. You all are joining the conversation. Maybe you've been involved in some programs, whether it's locally or perhaps you've had the opportunity to travel overseas and part of some projects where there have been the hunger relief efforts in place. Love to have you interact with us, or perhaps you're sponsoring a child, or you've been part of some microloans. You want to find out more about that? We welcome your call at 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH. Or if you have a question or comment and it's easier to submit it online, you can go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page and use the email link there, and we'll send your question ahead and talk with more with Ambassador Tony Hall in just a moment here on Connecting Faith. For us to do something, there's still opportunity in our world today where hunger is a reality. Even though poverty has decreased, deaths are down still, there are millions, literally millions, billions that live with very little, just maybe a dollar or two a day. And we have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus in some very strategic ways. We're talking about it today with Ambassador Tony Hall. He is Executive Director Emeritus of the Alliance to End Hunger. Served in Congress as a representative for the people of Dayton, Ohio for 24 years. Served as ambassador appointed by President Bush to the United Nations Agency for Food and Agriculture back in 2002. He's retired his official diplomatic service in 2006. We're honored to have him with us today. The Alliance to End Hunger is engaging in building the public and political will to end hunger at home and abroad. I'm interested, Ambassador, just how we're doing on that political will to end hunger. Obviously, we're in a pretty interesting political season at the moment. What's your assessment of the your fellow members of Congress and in general our will to make a difference here?
You know, in spite of the fact that we are making a difference really in the world through these programs, we're reducing the poverty rate, the number of deaths per day is being cut down, delivery is better, these programs are actually working. This issue of hunger and development assistance is not a high priority item among members of Congress and among our elected officials, I'm sorry to say. It's And probably the reason is that it's not a priority. It's the poor, the sick, the hungry, the aliens, the people that Jesus talks a lot about. They don't have a big voice in the Congress. They don't necessarily get in to see the congressman. They don't have campaign PACs. They're not the greatest voters in the world, they are the voiceless. So I'm sorry to say, one of the big frustrating things to me about this whole issue that I have worked on for probably 35 years is that this is not a big issue with our elected officials. Yes, there are a couple that are interested in it, a couple senators, a couple U.S. House members, but overall, it's not a big issue.
We somehow think that we're giving a pretty substantial amount in foreign aid, and that there's, you know, and of course, you know, the government millions sort of seem like pocket change oftentimes when we're spending billions. But are we spending wisely and significantly in this area?
I think so. We have looked at lots of programs, and, you know, there's been criticisms of some of our nutrition programs over the years. We have strengthened them. We have cut down on fraud and waste. And programs like the SNAP program, the school lunch program, school breakfast program, summer feeding program, our programs overseas, these programs actually work. and they have been helping people. And they are, you know, when they first came out, we had some problems with them. But over the years, they have been perfected, and they have been cut back. And percentage-wise, there's very little waste in these programs. As far as the international money, as you know, and I'm sure most of your people know that are listening, is that what we spend overseas for the poor is less than 0.5% of the total federal budget. So it's really infinitesimal.
That's not a lot, less than 0.5%. Tony, I know there was a time, and I guess I'd love to have you tell the story where you decided to take a stand on this issue and involved a prolonged fast. Give us some details about that and how that developed.
In the 90s, I think it was 1993, we had high deficits in the Congress, as we do today, and Congress was worried. And I had become, at that time, the chairman, the full chairman of the Select Committee on Hunger, where we worked on domestic and international hunger. And, you know, we had passed a lot of legislation that is in law today, dealing with microcredit and immunization of children and food security issues, both domestic and overseas, and the WIC program, et cetera, et cetera. We were called by the New York Times the conscience of the Congress. Anyway, the Congress decided to eliminate my committee. And they said they were going to eliminate various committees and things in Congress because, you know, they wanted to give the money back to the American people. They wanted to save the money. And I hit the roof. I said, you know, this is the only committee in the Congress that really deals with this issue of hunger. And I said, we spend less money than any committees in Congress. We've passed more legislation. We get all the awards from various groups who, and we're very bipartisan. I treat Republicans and Democrats as well as anybody does. And we try to be extremely bipartisan. Anyway, they said they were going to give the money back to the American people after they eliminated my committee and other committees. So they eliminated my committee, and they didn't give the money back to the American people. They kept it, and they spread it among the other committees. Now I am really mad, and I'm so disappointed, so hurt, because, I mean, this was really my priority. I mean, outside of serving my district, this is what I really wanted to do to make a difference. And I went home that night when they eliminated my committee, spoke to my wife. I said, I'm thinking about getting out of Congress, quitting. I said, you know, these people in Congress, they don't care about this issue. You know, I've been representing the poor and the voiceless for so long, and it's like, you know, nobody cares. And what do you think? And my wife said to me, did you ever think about going on a fast? And so she got out her Bible, and we read Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 is a wonderful chapter on fasting. And so I read the chapter, and we looked at it, talked about it, prayed about it, and we decided that the next day I was going to go on a fast in the Congress of the United States. And so I went before the Congress, announced that, you know, you people don't care about this issue, and I'm going to stop eating. I'm just going to drink water. And I'm going to fast for many days. I don't know how many days. And I am not going to eat until something good happens on this issue. I said, you're not going to bring my committee back, but I am sick and tired of you not caring for this issue. Well, there must have been 30 TV cameras there. And, of course, the Congress didn't know what to think, because there's never been a congressman that ever fasted like this before. They didn't know what to think. I mean, they deserted me like I had leprosy. And man, they left in great droves. I mean, it was, you know, and I'm thinking, am I doing something crazy here? I felt that God was really with it. My wife was with it. Some friends of mine who were believers were with it. But, you know, a lot of people weren't. Even my staff, they said, Tony, people are not going to understand this. And you'll probably not get elected again. So I went back to my district in Dayton, Ohio, and I thought, well, I might as well face the music. And I announced, I had committed to a speech a month before that, and so it was time for me to make this speech in Ohio, and I made this speech, a very large Catholic high school, and I told them I was starting my fast that day and what the reason was, and long and behold, the whole school fasted with me, along with the teachers and the students and their parents. And they decided to fast. They didn't fast the whole time. I fasted for 22 days without eating anything. I just drank water. And they fasted for 2 or 3 days. And that began to spread around the country. The networks and the newspapers began to write about this fast in a very, very good way. And they tell me about 10,000 high schools joined this fast and 200 universities and the press was just incredible because they were following the press and they were following how much weight I was losing every day. And I was just quoting Isaiah 58. Just go read Isaiah 58, what the reason was. And a lot of good things were really happening. And of course, the Congress saw that the press was so good. Now they wanted to be part of it. Now I was their, I was their hero, you know. But anyway, I'm fasting and I'm getting to about the 22nd day, and so many good things are happening, but nothing really huge. But then I got a call from the World Bank, which is the largest development bank in the world. It's a multi-billion-dollar bank, which makes lots of grants and loans to developing nations all over the world. And they said, Tony, we've been following your fast in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and we're going to have a conference around your fast. We want you to come and make a speech. We're going to invite a lot of world leaders. And if you make a good speech, there might be a commitment of money to this fast and what you're trying to do. And so I went and made a speech, and they committed, over a period of time, $100 million.
Amen. Tony, we need to pause for a break that's coming up here, but I want to come back and give you a chance to sort of finish that story, and I hope as we've listened, we've been reminded again of it, your commitment and passion for the Alliance to End Hunger, which we all ought to be a part of. To join together and do our part. Ambassador Tony Hall with us today. We're talking hunger initiatives, ending hunger, doing our part. We're going to talk about how we can make a difference as well. And you can join the conversation at 877-933-2484. More coming up. God's given us that privilege and responsibility to represent Him to the poor and the needy, to be His hands and feet. Ambassador Tony Hall has represented the people of Dayton, Ohio for a number of years when he served in the U.S. House of Representatives, and then he also served as a U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture. And he serves now as he's Executive Director Emeritus of the Alliance to End Hunger, which engages institutions in building the public and political will to end hunger at home and abroad. And we're talking with him today here in Connecting Faith. Tony was telling us a little story about when he was in Congress and went on a fast. It lasted 22 days. Tony, you had to take a little break there. I just kind of pick up the story. He said the World Bank said, come and give a speech. We'll have a conference. And they released some funds. And pick up the story from there.
Well, they committed funds over the period of time of about $100 million, and almost all the money went for microcredit, microfinance, to women in third world nations to start their own businesses. They tell me that fund now is up to $500 million because many of those, 98% of that money has been paid back with interest, and the money has gone out again many times over, and women have started many businesses, have hired other women, and so that was the thing really that got me to quit the fast. I thought that was a big thing, and I have to give all the credit to God because I mean, he orchestrated the whole thing. I stopped eating, and he did it all because I didn't have any plans as to what I was going to do. I didn't have any campaign funds. I didn't have a team. You know, my wife was with me and a few other people, and a lot of people were praying, and it was just extremely powerful, just very, very powerful.
Well, I appreciate you sharing the story. It brings up the question, I guess. Give us your assessment. Do microloans and similar strategies really help communities become food sufficient? What's your assessment?
Well, they really do. They help people mostly get on their feet, and they help people put money in their pocket, and we're not giving a handout. We're giving money out to people, and they have to pay the money back, and they have to pay it back with interest. And it gives them, there's a lot of people in this world that are extremely gifted, and they might not even be able to read or write, but they're gifted. They can, they're seamstress or they're bakers or they're, you know, they, I remember this lady in Nicaragua. She would meet all the men coming in from the countryside in the morning. They would come in to work in the city. I think the capital is Managua, and she would greet the buses coming in with hot coffee and hot rolls, and that's how she started her business. And she became very successful. And you know, as a result of that, she was able to buy medicines for her kids when they got sick, and she had money in her pocket. And then she bought a couple of motorcycles, and then she started kind of a taxi service on these motorcycles, and then that took off. And then through the motorcycles, she bought some property and some apartments, and now she's really an entrepreneur. I mean, these things. Microcredit really is one of the best things I've seen overseas to help the poor get on their feet. And, you know, you don't have to really give them anything anymore. You don't have to give them food or medicines. They take care of it themselves.
You know, it was a few years ago, I think Christianity Today did a study on the most effective development strategy, and child sponsorship came out on top. Say a bit about that. Is that... what's your assessment of how have you seen that working as well in this area?
Yeah, those are good programs. I know World Vision is very big into this, and it's an excellent way to mobilize people to get involved. And World Vision, I know, and other very excellent non-government organizations have organized many people to adopt people, and it's a wonderful thing to do to have child sponsorships, and it's very effective. It works real well, and it's one of the other programs that works well. I would say child sponsorships, microcredit, school feeding, teaching mothers how to read and write, digging wells, these are all key programs. If you do these three or four things, you will change a country.
You know, I remember reading some time ago International Justice Mission. Gary Haugen had written a book talking about the issues of violence, sort of the behind the scenes that doesn't necessarily get talked about with all these programs, that corruption and violence really hamper the work of, you know, organizations like the International Justice Mission dealing with trafficking, you know, slavery or whatever it might be. Is that an issue as well when it comes to food aid and developing sustainable practices? I mean, the land grabbing or just bribery, those kinds of things, corruption, how big an issue is that?
It's a big issue. And, you know, it's a big issue, especially in places like the Congo and Zimbabwe. You take Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe used to be an extremely productive country. Matter of fact, it used to export food to other countries in southern Africa. It was a great food producer and an export of food. But when Mugabe came in, President Mugabe came in many years ago, his regime of corruption has just changed so many things. So many of the farms that were owned by the farmers were taken over by his wife's relatives. And the first thing they did is they sold some of the irrigation equipment and the pipes that carry the water to the fields. I mean, they weren't farmers. They didn't know how to handle the farms. Now half the farms in Zimbabwe don't even work. And it's a very fertile, productive country, at least it used to be. And now half the farms in Zimbabwe don't work. And we've accused Mugabe of using food as a weapon. He feeds people that vote for him. He feeds people that are the same tribe and have the same political relationship with him. But people that are not on his side, people that he doesn't like, he doesn't feed. And so that's a great example of how corruption in a country has taken a country that was extremely productive on their own. I mean, they not only fed their own people at one time, they fed other nations. Now they have become very dependent on importing food, and they have extremely high inflation, and they've just taken a perfectly good country and ruined it through their corruption.
Yes, you also talk about, you know, at one point they were exporting, and we hear about that too, that sometimes if we're giving aid, we undercut local markets or production opportunities for poor communities. Are we making some progress in that area where, you know, we're not just feeding someone for a day, but they're giving them an opportunity to grow their own and prosper through markets and selling?
Yeah, we're making a lot of progress on that. You know, we made a lot of mistakes, our country, in going into an area that and undercutting farmers and taking food in there that was grown by American farmers and undercutting what the local farmers could do. We should have bought the local produce and fed the people with that. And I think we've learned our lesson. We've had several examples of that. We did that in Egypt, and we also did that in El Salvador all 25 years ago. And instead of helping them, like when they were in civil war and when they were in civil disturbances, you know, instead of helping them through programs that would really get them on their feet, we decided to send them food, and it was kind of a stuffability problem. We had a lot of food at the time, and we stuffed food into the country, and it didn't do any good because it undercut their farmers. We don't really do that anymore, and we're very, very careful to watch that. We have made mistakes. I think we've corrected that, and we watch that very carefully.
You know, here across the upper Midwest, we're aware, or maybe some are aware, of the influence and the impact of Dr. Norman Borlaug, whose birthday is coming up on the 25th of March. Got a Nobel Peace Prize for the father of the Green Revolution. Is that making a difference still, too, in terms of just the kinds of seeds and yields that we're producing, so that there is opportunity to maybe to produce more on less ground?
Yes. I mean, Dr. Borlaug was a great man, and he certainly really deserved the Nobel Peace Prize, because he saved many lives, and especially in India, through his Green Revolution. Let me give you a statistic. Probably 6 or 7 years ago, Africa didn't really produce any more food 6 or 7 years ago than they did in 1960. And we were not sending them our best seeds. We were not giving them our best technical know-how, and we were not emphasizing agriculture to them. And that all changed. What's happened is when President Obama started this program called Feed the Future, with other Western nations, they decided to support 19 developing nations in the world that had a chance of really coming out of poverty. Many of these nations are in Africa. Some are in South America. A couple are in Asia. And these were nations that the Western nations had decided that they had a chance to really improve things on. One, the nation had to have a reputation of having very little corruption. Two, they had to be in democracy or moving towards democracy. Three, they had to have a good financial system. Four, they had to have a good human rights record, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There was about 10 or 12 things that they had to have going for them before they would get any kind of help, financial help, especially economic and certainly agriculture help. And with that criteria, this was started about 6 years ago, and those 19 nations have improved. And we decided to not pour money into nations where we didn't have a chance, like Zimbabwe. We decided to, yes, try to help people when they're starving to death, but not try to put good money on top of bad money where there was a lot of corruption. And so this Feed the Future has really worked, because 7 out of the top 10 producing countries in the world today are now in Africa. And it's because of the change in mentality of emphasizing agriculture in the world rather than, we've always been in up until about 6 or 7 years ago, we've kind of been in an emergency world, where we have 40 conflicts every year. We still have that, through civil war, tsunamis, et cetera. But we've decided, instead of just trying to address emergencies and keeping people's heads above water, we decided we need to get them to help themselves, like microcredit, microfinance, better seeds, better agriculture, better techniques when it comes to agriculture. And it's really, really made a difference. And let's put our money where it's going to make a difference, and that's working.
Ambassador Tony Hall is Executive Director Emeritus of the Alliance to End Hunger. The Alliance has more than 85 members. There's corporations, nonprofits, universities, individuals, religious groups that are working to build the will to end hunger at home and abroad. We're going to talk more with Ambassador Hall here in just a moment as we get down to what we can do individually, how we can make a difference. If our faith informs our response to global hunger, what would be different? We'll get Ambassador Hall's perspective on that in a moment. If you want to join the conversation, you're welcome at 877-933-2484. Food insecurity is still a major global concern. We're talking about it today, not just around the globe, but here at home as well, with Ambassador Tony Hall, a leading advocate for hunger relief programs and improving human rights conditions around the world. He's Executive Director Emeritus of the Alliance Stand Hunger after serving the people of Dayton, Ohio for 24 years in the U.S. House of Representatives. He was also an ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture, and joining us today to talk hunger and the initiatives. Tony, if we were to really let our Christian faith inform our response to global hunger, what might be different?
Well, I think, you know, when you read the scriptures, I don't think you can pick up a chapter in the Bible without reading what God has to say about the poor and the sick and the hungry, the orphans, the widows, the aliens. And it's very clear that he wants us involved. I'll tell you what Mother Teresa said to me. I had the chance to visit with her a number of times, and the first time I met her was in Calcutta, and she took me downtown to this very densely populated area. People were just living on top of one another, and I said something to her like, you know, I'm supposed to know something about hunger and taking care of people, but, you know, with this densely populated, squalid area, where would I start? And she didn't say anything to me. But later she came back to me later in the afternoon, and she said, you know, not everybody can come to Calcutta like you. What I'd like for you to tell people is when you go back home is that to do the thing that's in front of them. And that was her point. She said, do the thing that's in front of you. You know, some people need to help their next door neighbor. Some people need to start a drilling company to dig for water in Africa. Some people need to be with a student that nobody pays attention to in school. Some people need to work at the food bank, helping the church. What is in front of you? And I think what Mother Teresa was saying is if everybody did the thing that's in front of them, probably half the stuff we do in the government we wouldn't need to do.
It would really be responding to the call of the gospel to care for those in need. I'm wondering, you know, we've talked a lot about food issues. Is that still a primary concern, or maybe has water, or maybe sanitation, or lack of legal protection? Are those becoming sort of more critical or equally critical? So I guess if we solve one, will the others be alleviated as well?
Well, they all go together. I think when you look at one, you have to look at all of them. I mean, I think if you have school feeding and you have good food, you want to also have clean water. And you know, if you're gonna work in one area, you also want to bring in maybe microcredit, and you want to teach the mothers how to read and write. If you teach mothers how to read and write, I'll tell you, they have less children. They learn about boiling water and about breastfeeding and about nutrition. And then they start their own businesses, and the population goes down and the gross national product of the country goes up. We did hearings on this, and people would always yell at me. I mean, I'm pro-life, and they would always say, well, we need to cut down on population. We need to have, you know, pro-choice and this and that. And I said, you know what? We have found through our hearings that if you teach the mothers overseas how to read and write, they will have less children because they realize that they don't have to have as many children because the children that they do have will be healthy. Because the reason why they have so many children is they don't have a welfare program. If they figure if they have 8 children, 4 of them are going to die because they're going to be sick. But if you teach them how to read and write, if you teach the mothers how to read and write, they get so smart that they learn about nutrition and boiling water, and they learn about how to take care of their kids, and they learn about how to start businesses, and they take care of themselves. And that cuts back on the population, increases the gross national product of the country. You don't need population control. Teach the mothers.
Tony, I know one of the hallmarks of the Alliance to End Hunger is about, building partnerships with corporations, nonprofits, universities, individuals, religious groups. You know, sometimes we are hesitant to align ourselves with other other people in partnerships. What would you say about maybe in this area where we align, where we sort of maintain our convictions?
I think if you're going to solve this problem of hunger, you got to bring everybody into the room. You know, the problem these days, whether it's hunger or crime or whatever it is, but take the issue of hunger. Hunger just doesn't belong with the government. It belongs with everybody. It belongs with the faith-based community. It belongs with businesses. It belongs with the nonprofits. It belongs with the universities. And we can learn a lot from businesses. The Alliance to End Hunger, we have a number of your corporations in your area, in your radio audience, that actually are members of the Alliance, you know, like Cargill and Mosaic and Monsanto. And we have a lot of large corporations and small corporations. They have a lot to contribute. And there's no reason to freeze them out. They are smart. They know logistics. They know agriculture. Everybody should come into the room and address this problem. This issue belongs to everybody.
Well, Congressman, our time is gone. We do want to just thank you for your willingness to continue to speak out on this. You haven't lost your passion for it, it sounds like to me.
I've never lost my passion, Neil. I think it's probably because of my faith. I don't think you can do this. I don't think you can do this issue, work on this issue for very long without faith. And because of my faith, my passion even gets stronger. It's a great issue. And it's the kind of issue that, you know, I tell people when we hire them, I said, look, this is the kind of issue that you're not going to get rich on. But when you go home at night, at the end of the week, you can say to yourself, you know what? It's been a pretty good week. I helped a lot of people this week. That's not bad. You know, you can't say that very much in some of the jobs we have in this world.
Yeah,
but you can say that in fighting hunger.
Yeah. Thanks for the fight and for encouraging us. Tony Hall is Executive Director Emeritus of the Alliance to End Hunger. He's an ambassador and former congressman, and we're honored to have him with us today here on Connecting Faith. You can look up the Alliance to End Hunger and find out how you might be able to plug in here in your community and do your part in making a difference. So, Tony, thank you so much for joining with us today. It's always good to talk with you.
Thank you.
You know, if you missed a part of today's program, we just welcome you to check it out online. We post our interviews on our show page after the program at myfaithradio.com. and clicking on the Connecting Faith show page. And so you can listen to it again or maybe pass it on to a friend. All our interviews are shareable, and so you can let others know and maybe be an encouragement to them, or you can develop your own alliance to work on food insecurity issues in your community. Thanks for joining us today on Connecting Faith. I always love to hear from you, and you can find out more about the programming and our ministry online at myfaithradio.com.